Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Woo. Thought maybe my ears were now plugged or something. Okay. All right. It's good. Well, if you are a guest with us, thank you for joining with us this morning. We are so grateful that you are here. When you came in this morning, maybe you got a welcome packet, and inside that welcome packet's a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or leave it on the information table, that would be so helpful to us. And hopefully you got a bulletin along with the rest of our church family. Hopefully you all have a bulletin too, so let's open it up, take a look at what's going on. Right after our morning service, we are going to be having Sunday school, and so hope that you'll stay. It's just another opportunity to study God's word and maybe go a little bit deeper because it's a little smaller of a group, and so we want to encourage you to be able to stay and join us for that. Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch, and we are going to Marie Callender's. It's on Fairview. If you need directions or you need information about how to find it, where to find it, come and see me afterwards, and I'll try to explain it to you. But it'll be a great time. Now, Joy, for those of you that are visiting or haven't been here for a long time, means just older youth. But you don't have to be an old person like me to be able to come and join us for lunch. And so we want you to, if you have the time, to be able to come and do that. Thursday night is Awana, and because we canceled Awana last week because of the weather, we are going to combine two nights. So it's going to be Heart to Heart night and Paper Airplane night. So kids, hopefully you have that in your mind to be able to do that. Sunday, March 9th, coming up very, very quickly, we are going to be having our church family dinner, and it is our annual baked potato bar. But there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table. The potatoes are going to be furnished, but we need your help with other things to be able to help complement the meal, and so stop by on your way out to be able to sign up for things that you might be willing to bring. And then, guess what? It's time to, once again, update the church directory, the pictorial church directory. So if you started coming to LHBC recently, we would like you to be included in the directory, or if you already are in the directory, but you would like a new picture taken, we would be happy to be able to do that, and Christine will be willing to take your picture after church in front of the barn door. So Christine, just give a wave so those who don't know you can now identify who you are. And then you're going to be asked to verify your information because we want to make sure that we have correct information. Some of you have moved. Some of you have changed phone numbers. Some of you have done different things. And so we just want to make sure that we have all of that information correct. Well, on the middle part of our bulletin, if you fold it, we have our prayer corner, and we have some additions to the prayer request. And so hopefully you begin to pray for those and pray for those that have been on there for quite some time. So that's why we put those out, is so that you can use them to be able to take these people before the throne of God. Are you glad you're here this morning? I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm ready to worship. I hope you're ready to worship as well. Are you?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning?
At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice. Your people cry out, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord, at your name. Morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. And there is no one like our God, we will praise you, there's no one like our God, we will sing, there is no one like our God, we will praise you, praise you, there's no one like our God, we will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord, we love to shout your name, O Lord, we love to shout your name, O Lord.
Give him a round of applause, come on. God, it's you who we came for today, it's you alone. So, Lord, as we meet you in this place, would you meet us here? Lord, we love you. We place our hope firmly in you alone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Whatever you're going through today, turn to Him today. Come on.
When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every eye and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Thank you that we can trust you, Lord.
When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone.
Come on.
For blessed stand before the throne, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Oh, He's Lord of all. He's Lord.
Praise you today and lift you up and magnify your great name. Lord, be blessed today. and meet us in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning. God is good, amen. Weak made strong. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. That's him. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Jesus alone. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. That's our prayer this morning. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. So good, I almost can't believe it. Far beyond what hearts could ever dream. The God who set the galaxies in motion would descend to give his life for me. For what could make perfection bleed for sinners? What leads a king to face so great a cost? All my life, my heart will sing the answer. Only the love of God. Singing, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on that rugged cross. For all our days we will sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. It's so kind, it leads us to repentance. It's so bright, the darkness has to flee. Hallelujah, it cleared my guilty sentence. For I was bound, but now I stand redeemed. For what could break the chains of any prison? What force could rob the power from the grave? What would trade my rags for heaven's riches? only the love of God. Singing, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on that rugged cross. For all our days, we will sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. Though I try, my mind can't comprehend it. It's so high, too marvelous for words. I could sing a million songs about it and barely scratch the surface of your worth. This all my life, the banner I'll be waving, my anthem cry, no matter what may come. And when I rise to walk the streets of heaven, I'll still be singing this song. For everything that you've done, how great, oh, the love of God. The singing, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on that rugged cross. For all our days, we will sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. How great is the love of God. How great is the love of God. As we take this morning's offering, I want you to have one thing in mind, that God loved you so much, He gave Jesus for you. And when a plate passes in front of you, don't you dare put money in that plate because you think you need to for this church. That is not the reason that we give. When we give, it's to remember what God has given to us. It's praise and it's adoration for how amazing He is. And we don't need to hold on to the material things in our lives for security or for hope, but in Jesus' name alone. Lord, we love You, and we're here to praise You 100%. In Jesus' name, amen. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty bear bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When years of time shall pass away, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless an angel song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
Thank you, worship team. One of my favorite hymns. I just came undone. All right, maybe that'll work. Where was I? Oh, one of my favorite hymns. So many of you know that Becky and I, and not only us, but the Palmers as well, have been on several Gaither cruises. And there's nothing more incredible than listening to a boatload of people singing this hymn about the love of God. And knowing in your heart of hearts and your mind of minds that they believe every single word of it. And I heard Bill Gaither say one time, right after we sang this hymn, that in his estimation, this hymn has the greatest lyrics of any hymn that's ever been written. Now, for Bill Gaither to say that, that's pretty good, because he's a pretty good hymn writer himself, don't you think? And so, I mean, what a message that is. The love of God, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Wow, aren't we blessed? Do you know the love of God this morning? I hope you do. But I hope if, as you examine your heart and you examine your life and you come to the place of realizing that maybe you really don't know the love of God, I pray that you don't leave this place until you make sure that that's solidified in that heart, solidified in that mind. God loved us so much, the Bible tells us, that he sent Jesus to go to the cross to pay a debt that he didn't know, a debt of sin, because he never sinned, because we owed a debt of sin that we could never pay. And he did that because he loved you. He did that because he loved us. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. I hope you don't leave this place this morning without knowing the love of God for yourself. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Let's pray. Father, we are so Our hearts are just full of praise because of your love. Father, your love not only helps us get through the day, your love not only helps us in our day-to-day living, your love reaches into eternity for us. Because when we believe in Jesus as Savior, we are given a gift of eternal life, and that eternal life is in your presence. And it can never be lost. It can never be taken away. We can't even give it back. It's eternal. And we're going to be there because of the love that you displayed to us, and that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. And we're going to be in that place forever and ever and ever. Father, that's your love. And this morning I pray that whether we're in children's church or whether we're here in the sanctuary, that as your word is brought forth to us, that we will see and we will know your love. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, go and have a good time. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 3, continuing on in our study of the book of Joshua. A few years ago, drivers on a certain highway in India encountered an especially stubborn elephant that refused to let them pass until they offered up some food. He was even known to stick his trunk through an open window and sniff around for any hidden treasure. One local resident went as far as to call the actions an old-fashioned holdup. Aren't you glad we don't have to deal with obstacles like that around here? We might encounter a slow driver or a driver who drives through red lights, but no elephant sticking his trunk in your car. Anybody ever had that happen here in America? No, didn't. But there are obstacles which slow down our forward progress in life. It could be sickness, difficult people, or challenging circumstances which may stop you cold in your tracks. So what do you do in those times? How can you overcome the obstacles in life? How do you get past those things which keep you from moving forward to accomplish what God has called you to do? We'll look at Joshua 3. Here in Joshua 3, we see how the Israelites managed the Jordan River in its flood stage, which kept them from returning to the land that God promised to them. Hopefully by now you found Joshua chapter 3. Listen as I read verses 1 through 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it." Now, these people, the Israelites, are to act as if the flooded Jordan River doesn't even exist. Now, if you know anything about the Jordan River and you know anything about the topography of Israel, in the rainy season, and Israel doesn't get a whole lot of rain, kind of like Idaho. I wonder if it has to do with the fact that it starts with an I, we start with an I. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it has no correlation. But anyway, as the rains come and they reach the Judean hills and the rain begins to run off, it runs down the Judean hills and it runs into the Jordan River. And the Jordan River becomes flooded. And when this Jordan River is flooded, it is a very dynamic river. It's not a passive river. In fact, the water coming down the Jordan River, coming down into Israel, coming down into the Sea of Galilee, which then opens up and goes down into to the Dead Sea. As that water is coming down the Jordan River at flood stage, it is picking up underneath in the riverbed all kinds of sediment, all kinds of dirt, all kinds of silt, all kinds of stuff. It's bringing down with it dead trees. It's bringing with it all kind of debris and trash. It is not the river you want to be crossing. Remember back in, I think it was 1 Kings? Remember this fellow named Naaman had developed leprosy? And he came to see the prophet Elisha. And he drove from Samaria to Israel. And he found the house of Elisha, and he went in, he knocked on the prophet Elisha's door, And Elisha didn't even get up out of his rocking chair. Said, come on in. Now, this guy is a captain of an army. This guy is an influential governmental official, this guy named Naaman. And so he's expecting Elisha to come to the door and to be able to greet him and maybe fall down in front of him. And Elisha doesn't even get up out of his chair. He just says, come on in. So the guy comes in and he explains to Elisha what's going on. And he says, I heard that you can heal me. I heard from a Jewish girl that works in our home that if I came and see you, you could take care of this leprosy. And so Elisha said, oh, well, that's nice. So, okay, tell you what, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman went, are you serious? And Elisha said, no, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and your leprosy will be gone. So Naaman leaves Elisha's house. You know the story, right? He's upset. He is fried. He is livid, and he gets in his chariot, and they start heading back, and they're riding along, and the charioteer is driving just as fast as he can because Naaman can't wait to get out of there. And all of a sudden, they're passing along a river. Guess what river it is? The Jordan River. And the charioteer says, boss, we're here at the Jordan River. What do you think? You want me to stop? And he goes, are you kidding me? There's cleaner rivers where I live than this one. Look how dirty this is. Look how gross this is. I'm not doing that. So the charioteer says, okay, keeps on going. They get a little farther down, and there's the Jordan River still there. And the charioteer says, boss, what do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? 7 dips, and then your leprosy probably could be gone. What do you got to lose? And Naaman grumbled and complained, said, stop the chariot, gets out, walks over to that Jordan River rushing down, all of that debris, all of that, I mean, the murkiest river he's probably ever seen. And he goes to look at it, goes to step in it, and he goes, nope, not doing it. The charioteer says, you're already here. What's the problem? Now, I'm giving you the Sam Tremaine version, by the way. Okay. And so Naaman says, okay. So he sticks his foot in. Oh, yuck. Oh, gross. This is terrible. Go ahead, boss. Just keep going in. Just wait a little farther. So Naaman does. And then he dips once and twice. 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times. And the Bible says on the 7th time he came up and his skin was as clear as a baby's skin. No leprosy. Wow. By the way, if you ever want to tell that story, you can title it 7 Ducks in Dirty Water. That's the Jordan River. That's the Jordan River that the nation of Israel now finds themselves on the other side from the promised land. And God is telling them, go across. It's flood stage. It's dirty. It's got all of this stuff. Are you kidding me? And they're to make plans to proceed despite the raging river in front of them. But the leaders of Israel instruct the people to follow the Ark of the Covenant, which, remember, in our study of the book of Exodus, represents what? The very presence of God. Look at verse 4. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, meaning the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. As they follow the Ark of the Covenant, the Israelites are to remain 2,000 cubits, or about 3,000 feet behind it. Why? Why? So that all of them can keep their eyes on the ark. Because if they crowded too close, then only a few would be able to see it. But if they keep their distance, then all would be able to see it and follow God's leading. It's as if it has one of those signs that's on the back of fire trucks. Perry, what does that sign say? Stay back what? 1,000 feet? Or whatever it is. Okay? You know there's a reason for that? So that you know that the fire truck is there? Right? And so the Israelites had to stay 3,000 feet behind it so that all of the nation of Israel, remember, we're talking close to a million or more people so that all of them would be able to see it. Why? Because God needed to lead these Israelites. And all they had to do was keep their eyes on his presence so that they could follow him. This is the only way you and I can overcome the obstacles in our lives. And here in the rest of chapter 3, God gives us some ways that he helps us in overcoming the obstacles. Here's the first one. Concentrate on God. What did he say? Keep your eyes on me. Place your attention on God so that you can follow him. David Gibson from Idaho Falls talks about riding with his friend who had just bought a 19-foot jet boat. The boat was made of steel and fitted with a V8 engine. Ever been on one of those? It's incredible. They put the boat in the North Fork of the Snake River where the water was quite low because of drought and heavy irrigation. Gibson's friend eased the throttle up until they were going 35 miles per hour. They grinned at each other as they raced across the water's surface. Then suddenly, they hit a hidden sandbar, and the boat came to an abrupt stop. They stepped onto the sandbar, barely covered with 1 inch of water. Fortunately, another boater came along, and after 3 hours of digging and pushing, they once again had the boat floating in the open channel. The boater who rescued them offered to lead them back to the landing since he knew the river well. He instructed them to follow exactly behind him so they would avoid hidden sand and gravel bars. The rescuer pushed his boat up the 35 miles per hour. They fell in behind him, and once again they enjoyed the power of the machine as it skimmed over the water. After a couple of minutes, Gibson's friend steered their boat just a few feet to the right of where the lead boat had gone. And within seconds, they hit a gravel bar, and Gibson was thrown into the windshield, getting injured and busting the windshield. When the lead boat came back, the driver reminded them, "I told you to follow me." God says the same thing to us. He says, "Follow me," because he knows the way around or through the obstacles. So if you don't want to get stopped by the obstacles, keep your spiritual eyes on him and stay on the path he has for you. If you want to overcome the obstacles in your life, concentrate on God so you can follow him. Here's the second way. Consecrate yourself to God. Dedicate yourself completely to him. Give yourself totally to God. This is what Joshua tells the Israelites to do. Look at verses 5 and 6. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. If they were going to follow God, then they would have to give themselves completely over to him. Now, 40 years before this, a previous generation had consecrated themselves to God at Mount Sinai. Remember our study in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 19? And this consecration involved washing their clothes. And it was symbolic. God's desire was for them to clean out the worldly influences in their lives and to give their total attention to him. And guess what? This is exactly what God wants us who are believers to do today. Listen to some verses from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I appeal you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You see, once you consecrate yourself to God, there can be no turning back to your old life, no matter how comfortable you were in that old life. We need to give ourselves completely to him. So here's the lesson. Leave the old life behind and let God give you a new purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how do we get to be in Christ? By believing in him as Savior. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. One day in an interview in his home in London, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said this, God has had all there was of me to have. There have been men with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do, I made up my mind that God would have all there was of William Booth. And if there's anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Are you consecrated to God? Does God have you? Or does he have only the parts that you want to give him and you want to keep some of the parts of your life because you're comfortable continuing to live in those parts? Ask God. Ask God through his Holy Spirit to help you answer that question honestly. Does God have all of you? Because it's the only way you can get to the place that God wants you to be. Here's the third way that God helps us overcome the obstacles in our life. We need to commit ourselves to God's word. Commit yourself to God's word. Depend on God's promises. God speaks to Joshua and assures him with a promise. Look at verses 7 and 8. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. God assures Joshua of his presence, and then God gives Joshua instructions for the priests. And then Joshua assures the Israelites, not with his own opinion, not with his own advice, but with God's word. Look at verses 9 through 13. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all of the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. Wow. And when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the ark of the Lord of all of the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. The signal that God was returning them to the land that God promised their patriarchs is that God was going to stop the Jordan River from flowing as soon as the priest carried the ark, step into the water. Now put yourself in the place of these priests that are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. As they step into that Jordan River, that Jordan River is at flood stage. It's rushing. And they have to step into it, and they have to what? Stand firm. Stand still. Sometimes we need to read God's word. And instead of wavering, like it says in the book of James, being a double-minded person, we need to stand firm in God's word. We need to stand firm on God's word. We need to stand firm in the instructions that God has given to us. God assured Joshua with a promise, and Joshua assured God's people with that same promise. It was the only way that they were going to cross the Jordan and conquer the land. They had to believe God. And so must you if you want to overcome the obstacles in your life. Now, God's word has important words of instruction and encouragement for you as well. They're located in his word, the Bible. And all you need to do is read it. And then what? Live it. You don't have to have it explained to you. You can read it, and then you, with God's, the help of God's Holy Spirit, can put it into practice into your life. Here's the fourth way that God helps us through our, helps us through the obstacles. We need to cross through the obstacle. We need to move forward. We need to move forward with confidence in God. We need to go in the direction God wants us to be able to go. That's what the people of Israel did. Look at verses 14 through 16. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. This isn't just some puddle that they're walking through. This isn't just a little bit of water. This isn't just a narrow, this isn't a creek that they're going through. This is the Jordan River. When? As it overflows all of its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. God held back the water, and you know what? He held back the water 16 miles north of where they were. What? What? 16 miles. So that when they walked across, there was no water. There was no water for them to see. There was no water for them to be distracted by. And the priest got their feet wet with their first steps. Look at verse 17. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. The priests got their feet wet with their first steps, but now, what did God do? They stand firmly on dry ground in the Jordan River at flood stage while the whole nation crosses over, just like their family members did 40 years before this when God caused the Red Sea to part. And again, that wasn't some puddle that they were walking through. That wasn't some creek that they were walking across. It was the Red Sea. It was a huge body of water. And God stopped the water so that what? The Israelites could walk across on Jordan, on dry ground. And as they come to the Jordan 40 years later, God does it again at the Jordan River. Wow. What power. But the Israelites, they had to take their first steps before God stopped the river. And that's what you and I must do to see God remove the obstacles in our life. Take those first steps in the direction that God is leading. Don't wait until all the obstacles are gone. Don't wait until you have all of the answers. Just step out and trust God to clear the path for you. Remember our study just a few weeks ago from Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I shall not want. He leads me by still waters. He takes me to the green pastures. The shepherd leads his sheep to the green pastures and the still waters, no matter the obstacles. And he still does that today. So walk every moment with God. Obey God's word and allow God to make a way for you. Father, help us to be able to walk every moment with you. Father, help us to obey your word. Help us to allow you to make a way for us, not to put our eyes, not to put our mind, not to put our hearts on the obstacle, but Father, to keep them on you, because you will give us a way either around or through that obstacle. You did it for the nation of Israel when you brought them out of Egypt. You did it for the nation of Israel when you brought them to the edge of the Jordan River, as you brought them out of the wilderness, ready to take them into the promised land. And Father, you will do that for us as well. Father, help us to be able to remember these lessons, that you will help us overcome the obstacles in our life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me as we sing this last song? What do you know? It's called The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.